The Partnership for Public Service has announced the 30 finalists for this year's Service to America Medals, or SAMMEs. Among them is Dr. Griffin Rogers, director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive and Kidney Disease at the National Institutes of Health. He and his team developed the first effective drug treatment for sickle cell disease, something that's resisted cures for decades. I spoke with him about his work and his background.
I'm a physician. I trained in medicine. I did a residency at Washington University in St. Louis, and then in 1982 came to the NIH as a research fellow working in the lab and in the clinics, and over time sort of worked my way up in the administrative ranks and did reasonably well in both in the lab and in the clinics, and ultimately became a section chief, a branch chief, the deputy director of the institute, and since 2007, the director of the NIDDK for short.
All right. And of course, diabetes, digestive, these are things that we hear a lot about today with the seemingly rise in diabetes and also digestive with people, everybody wanting non-gluten diets and so forth.
Absolutely.
But this award concerns sickle cell. And I thought that was something that was largely dealt with a long time ago, no?
Well, sickle cell disease actually is the first genetic disease that was completely understood. In fact, it's Linus Pauling back in 1949 who actually coined the term a genetic disease, and later it was called the first genetic disease. It's a condition in which there is a specific mutation in the gene that encodes for the substance that makes our red blood cells red, hemoglobin. And in these patients, it's the abnormality in that hemoglobin that causes these cells to sickle, clog up the circulation, leading to pain as agonizing and as serious as cancer and arthritic pain. But it's something that occurs quite commonly in these patients. And what I'm being recognized is for developing the first and thus far only FDA-approved treatment for these patients, which reverses that process. It allows their cells to last longer, not obstruct the circulation. And then more recently, our work in developing what we call a less intensive bone marrow transplant program, which cures the disease thus far in over 85% of the recipients, adults with the disease.
And since it was identified quite a while ago, as you mentioned, what was the main obstacle to developing something to help it? Till now.
The main obstacle with hemoglobin disorders is that in your body, the hemoglobin is present in the second highest concentrations of all the proteins, albumin being the most concentrated. But in order, for example, to develop a drug that could get in and interfere with the process of sickling, you would have to take such high amounts of it that those drugs would be toxic to individuals. And so this specific therapy that we worked on and ultimately having it being FDA approved actually works at a genetic level to reverse a gene that gets turned off. And by turning this gene back on, something called fetal hemoglobin, it interferes with the process. And so one could use doses which are not associated with the toxicity that one would see with using these other therapies that had been previously recommended.
So is it going too far to call it a cure, or is it something that is simply effective as long as the person takes this particular drug?
This particular drug, which is called hydroxyurea, is not a cure, but it's a very effective therapy. It seems to be effective in about somewhere between 70 to 75% of patients that take it, adults and children and adolescents who are now using it. It is effective in upwards of 90% of those kids. They have less of that bone pain that I mentioned, less hospitalizations because the blood lasts longer. They require less transfusion support. And so it's a very effective therapy, but it's not a cure. The more recent work that we did using this less intensive, what we call non-myeloablative transplant, is actually a cure. And in fact, in the 30 patients that we just reported last year, 26 of them were actually cured of their sickle cell disease by a bone marrow transplant from a sibling. And the thing that really makes this so exciting is that the holy grail of transplantation, be it a bone marrow or a kidney or a liver, is that you're giving someone an organ from, you know, a donor, but you have to put them on lifelong immunosuppressive therapy so that their immune system doesn't reject the transplant. In this particular case, of those 26 patients who accepted the transplant, 15 of them have now been taken off of all of their immunosuppressive drugs. So it really is the holy grail of transplantation.
We're speaking with Dr. Griffin Rogers. He's director of the National Institutes of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases at the National Institutes of Health. And is this disease only affecting African Americans, or do other people have it also?
Other people have it. The disease arose in Africa thousands of years ago because it's thought that people that have the disease would, in Africa, would die of the disease. People who had normal blood would die of malaria, which is very prevalent in that region, and people who had the trait, they had half normal blood, half sickle blood, would actually be protected from developing malaria, and therefore the gene began to flourish. But in the areas in which malaria was quite prevalent, particularly around the Mediterranean, the disease exists for example, Italy and Greece and parts of southern Spain. Also exists in a large amount in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, and other Middle Eastern countries. But where there's the greatest frequency of the disease is actually in India. Very concentrated numbers of people there, and it's estimated there are probably more people in India, subcontinental India, with sickle cell disease than anywhere else in the world. Of course, in the New World, it's in the United States, but it's also in South America and the Caribbean. So there are probably a few million people around the world with the disease.
And is it something that's fatal, or is it simply debilitating and people have to live with it, but they can live with it?
Well, as a result of therapies largely developed by funding from the NIH, over time, the disease has now been associated with longer life expectancy. Early on, it was a fairly shortened life expectancy because these patients do develop infectious complications or certain infections that could shorten their survival. But now kids are routinely put on penicillin prophylaxis as well as receiving their vaccinations, allowing them to live well into early adulthood. Their life expectancy has actually been going up. But for the most severe patients, those with these repeated agonizing, debilitating bone and joint pains, as well as other complications, therapies like hydroxyurea offer a real benefit, and certainly the bone marrow transplants a curative strategy.
All right, and I wanted to ask you also, because of the advances that have been made in relatively recently in understanding the human genome and the mapping and all of that, is that what enabled this new treatment to come about at this time?
Well, it's going to set the stage for other treatments, but in this particular case, it was really large epidemiologic studies, and it really relates to the first question that you, or one of the questions that you asked, is it largely in patients with sickle cell disease or who are African or African Americans? It really was that recognition that there are people, even in Africa, particularly around the Senegal region, but also in the Middle East and also in India, who seem to have the disease but have sort of a milder form of it. And when the early genetic studies were done, it was clear that this fetal hemoglobin, which normally gets turned off in the second and third trimester of life, could be restored using certain types of drugs, hydroxyurea being one of them. It really led to that as being a treatment approach. But what the human genome is actually showing us, sort of a similar pathway in terms of looking at better treatments or potentially cures for other genetic diseases. We know that everyone with a particular genetic disease doesn't have the same outcome, and it's because over the span of time, people develop other mutations, modifying genes, if you would, and if one can capitalize, as we have in sickle cell disease, on those modifying genes to either turn them back on or get them expressed at a high level or in certain cases turn them off, one can have another pathway in terms of better treatments of other common genetic diseases.
I guess it must feel pretty good to get this type of recognition for getting at the heart and the root of such a terrible disease.
Well, I have to say that last week when I had the opportunity to meet with the other finalists, you, of course, know what you did, but when you hear these other great discoveries, you have to be proud to actually be in the federal workforce, you know, in a general sense. Of course, I'm very pleased with the work that we did and certainly our colleagues and collaborators here. But hearing some of this other work, you're just astonished. You know, federal workers tend to get a bad rap, in a sense, but these are really very dedicated civil servants, and so I'm just proud to be within their ranks.